The following is a passage taken from Jeremiah 44:15, 18. But we shall without fail do everything as we said. We shall burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and shall pour her libations as we used to do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, and we were all well and saw no evil. But since we ceased burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour her libation, we have wanted everything and have been consumed by sword and famine. Come in search of understanding, hope, and help from the Queen of Heaven.
When I was younger, we lived next door to a man who could find water using a divining rod that looked like a forked stick. I remember especially one day when he called my mother over to his place to show her how to do the same. I watched her as he gently guided her to where the water was that could not be seen on the surface with the naked eye. To this day, my mother still tells me how she could feel the pull of the stick directing her towards the water that was just below the surface. She also told me that she didn't know why, but she just trusted it and could feel the pull and knew what to do. She trusted that process. Later on, as I grew older, I learned that that way of finding that water that was just below the surface was called the process of divination. The name of my sermon today is called Divining the Sacred Feminine. And another word could really be finding in place of divining the sacred feminine. So if we are of the mindset that we were born and made in the image of God the Father, then we must realize that we were born and made in the image of God the Mother, or the Sacred Feminine as well. Now, the Sacred Feminine is not easily found on the surface these days, and for through the years, she has been drowned out by a more aggressive, louder, angry energy. The Sacred Feminine is not the one who raises the sword and heeds the battle cry of violence, hatred, greed, separation, nor does the Sacred Feminine push forward without seeing the consequences of all people and beings on the planet. The Sacred Feminine is not so easily found nor understood in a time that focuses on being powerful by overpowering others instead of empowering each other. You see, we are under the notion, and have been for a very long time, that boys need to be boys. Girls need to be girls. And while that may be true in theory, it's indeed untrue in reality. The reality that we are co-creating is meant to treat male and female as equal. And with that being said, I want to elaborate on that. We need to be aware of both the masculine and feminine in our life, on our planet, and even in our minds and our bodies. Without action, there would be nothing at all. And that action is outwardly moving forward, energy considered the masculine principle. Without receptivity, being still, observing, and waiting for what is divinely coming to us, and which is actually rightfully ours. Without that, the feminine principle. We feel so we can act, and the means that got you here today in this sanctuary, not only your car, but the forward movement, is actually masculine energy. However, the reason you are here, the feeling, the desire, the right motivation, is feminine energy. Now, I want to explain this a little bit. If we do something because we feel obligated or need to do it without acknowledging the sacred feminine, then we are still denying the sacred feminine principle and pushing the masculine principle forward by acting without truly feeling, being with that feeling, that thought, or idea. And on the other hand, if we feel without acting, then we are actually denying the masculine principle and allowing the feminine principle to take over instead. One night in early winter of this year, I remember having a dream. I dream almost every night, and it's usually in color, and it's sometimes very lucid. And I typically have the same kind of dream, and it's about this car. So I'm either riding in the car or driving. And one night in early winter, I remember having a dream where I was aware that I was going too fast. And I had to push a pedal, right? If I push the brake, then I know I'll stop. If I push the gas, I'll go even faster. So I looked down at the pedal, and I actually saw the image of a goddess. The old Willendorf goddesses from back in the cave, they actually had writings on the cave in the Paleolithic times of the goddess. One of the earliest symbols of the sacred feminine. So I pushed that pedal, and I actually awoke from that dream. And the message I got very loud and clear was, you must break for the goddess. It was actually at breakfast time, which I thought was kind of interesting, that I was writing in my journal the dream, what little pieces I could remember. And as I was writing breakfast, because I was writing what I was having for breakfast, I made the connection, break for the goddess. You can imagine my delight, my surprise, and of course my eagerness to not only understand what that meant, but actually how to make it a part of my everyday life. I created signs around the house and in my journal and in my scheduler, and I said, break for the goddess. Because if we don't put reminders out there, we don't do those things that require us to take breaks. So what was interesting is I started including these goddess sessions, what I call break for the goddess sessions, in my meditation. That was part of it. In my writing, it became a little bit more flowery and more inwardly. In my creating art, being in nature, and simply just being. Some of you here may have been the product of the Woman Spirit Rising healing sessions and classes that I started to create, because as I learned so much about how to break for the goddess, I could see others needed that as well. It was like if I did my best to make time, the goddess, the divine feminine, would do the rest. And she trusted, and trust me, she actually did. So more and more I recognized not only the divine feminine and goddess within me, but how she worked through me, around me, and actually was a natural part of me. Just as the divine masculine works through me, is around me, and is a natural part of me. More and more I was able to just be in that divine feminine energy place so that I could act from that divine feminine place. So what does that mean? Well, I found myself pushing less and pulling back more. I found myself expressing with soft words versus fighting with harsh words. I actually found myself giving less and getting more. And I even found myself feeling smaller on the outside, but tremendously larger inside. And I began to hear the message over and over again. You may be small, but you are mighty. It's not so necessary to be seen and heard all the time. Don't underestimate the power of the small act. Now, if you are familiar with Mother Teresa, she's actually been one of my heroes and favorite saints for a very long time. Our very first woman's retreat, I had the saying, we can only do small, we can, I have it written down, we can only do small acts, hold on one second, don't underestimate, we can only do great things through small acts of love. We can only do great things with small acts of love. It reminds me so much of Mother Teresa. Perhaps that is the reason why I have always admired Mother Teresa, and perhaps now I'm finally getting it. Don't underestimate the power of the small acts. It's my theory, though, that even Mother Teresa may have had and struggled a little bit with her own sacred femininity. You see, we need both the divine masculine and the divine feminine to make conscious, careful decisions, to create conscious, loving actions that become a win-win-win for the greater good of all. In our Cakes for the Queen of Heaven class, we learned that there once was a time when the female was considered very sacred. Joseph Campbell suggests that in the Paleolithic period, the female was experienced as a focus of divine force, and a system of rites was dedicated to her mystery. We also learned in earlier times, the divine feminine temples were the creative centers of ancient societies, of wisdom and law, of commerce, where all accounts were kept, centers for understanding sexuality and human relationships, storehouses of food, centers of agricultural knowledge and fertility, of music, art, dance, and every aspect of human existence. Her temples were the center of wisdom and culture and financial power, presided over by women. Now I want to go back and look at the passage taken from Jeremiah once again, which actually inspired the Cakes for the Queen of Heaven curriculum that Brooke read before. But we shall without fail do everything as we said. We shall burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and shall pour her libations as we used to do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, and we were all well, and saw no evil. But since we ceased burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour her libations, we have wanted everything, and have been consumed by sword and famine. We are living in a time where decisions and actions are not being made with this masculine-feminine balance in mind. Men and women make decisions and act from places of fear each and every day because they have not and they will not burn incense for the Queen of Heaven. They will not celebrate and honor and or break for the Goddess or be still to listen to the Queen of Heaven. For if they did, I guarantee you, we would be a more peaceful planet. For if they did, they would indeed receive divine inspiration to co-create a new world, a better world, a peaceful world. And the thing is, that divine inspiration is just below the surface, aching for us to find. To find her, to give birth to her so that she can spring forth just like the water that my mother found through her loving, gentle, trusting act of divination. That, too, was just below the surface, waiting to be discovered. Amen.